Well, AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana.
This is Keeping the Faith, a weekly discussion about issues of faith, spirituality, religion, and ethics. Now here's your host, Steve Shoemaker.
Keeping the Faith this afternoon, we're talking with Sean Noble from Voices for Illinois Children. Sean, can you hear me all right? Sean, are you there? We're talking with Sean Noble from Voices for Illinois Children. Sean, can you hear me? We seem to be having a technical problem. I'm not hearing Sean respond, but we'll check on that and get started here in just a moment. This is Steve Shoemaker, your usual host for Keeping the Faith. This is a live program every Sunday evening from 5 to 6 p.m. that comes to you from WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media here at Illinois. Also heard on 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3. And I might just mention that regular listeners know that the AM station has to cut its power at sundown for local listeners, but if you have an HD radio, you can go and hear us fine there, or if you don't, you can hear us via your computer. Simply go to will.illinois.edu, click on AM, and you'll hear the live program. I understand we do have our guest now, so we can hear him. Sean Noble, are you there?
I am. Hello, Steve.
Great. And Sean is helping out in an emergency because Jerry Sturmer, who had been our scheduled guest, and listeners will remember me saying that he'd be on today's show a few weeks back, sadly for us, he got picked to be a chief of staff for our new governor here in Illinois, Patrick Quinn. And so Jerry Sturmer has moved from being director of Voices for Illinois Children. How long was he there, Sean, at Voices?
He was our founding president 22 years ago and wow. Had been with us the whole time, Steve.
And now has moved over to the new governor's office, we're happy to
That's
say.
That's right.
Right. And Sean, your position at Voices for Illinois Children is Director of Government Relations.
Yes.
And how long have you been there?
Next month, Steve, it'll be 8 years since I arrived at Voices' doorstep.
Great. Tell our listeners who may not know what Voices for Illinois Children does.
Voices for Illinois Children is, I'll give you the boilerplate description.
Sure.
The nonprofit, nonpartisan, statewide group of children's advocates, and we work across the different issue areas: health, education, families, economic security, and the fiscal integrity of government as well, to try to support these other important commodities in government. We work on public policy, and we advocate for good public policy. We don't have any direct services of our own, no clinics, no schools, no anything like that. It's strictly working on trying to improve public policy and engaging the citizenry more in speaking up on behalf of children's and families' needs, since obviously kids can't vote for themselves and can't necessarily speak up for themselves in the way that that we adults can. So that's how we try to engage folks in this important work.
And who is the we? How large is the staff? Where does financial support come from? How do people get involved?
Well, the staff size centrally, we're based in Chicago, but we're statewide. The staff size is about 15 or 16 people. And we do have, and I hope to come back to this at some point too, we do have really a reach out into communities throughout the state through what we call Voices Leadership Committees, which are folks on the ground in areas all the way from Rockford and Peoria in the north down to the southern tip of Illinois, and from west central Illinois over to Champaign, including a Voices Leadership Committee in Champaign itself, of folks that include Lynn Jones of the United Way, Judy Argentieri of Junior League of Champaign-Urbana, and I believe she's with U of I as well. Local groups of civic leaders, business leaders, educators, interested parents and grandparents, and people who are at the local level who kind of serve as our eyes and ears and our voices at the very local level in communities, as I said, throughout the state. So they're kind of affiliates of ours in a very important way, helping to ensure that public policy is a two-way street of, listening to what's going on at the local level and trying to respond appropriately as we can from the statewide level.
Sean, since this program is heard throughout Illinois and Indiana and via the Internet, a lot of other places, how common are the issues that are faced here in Illinois to kids in Indiana and elsewhere?
Oh, extremely common, Steve. The issues that we work on of these major issue areas that I mentioned, of education, health, and human services, families, economic security, and the ability of government at the state and the federal levels to respond to these things, are really things that cut across geographic boundaries and boundaries of all other kinds as well. I'm looking right now at a report that the Children's Defense Fund put out just a few weeks ago, The State of America's Children 2008, and it kind of breaks out some examples of just how common and sadly widespread a lot of the challenges are that that we face both as a nation and state-by-state level. 2,300 some high school dropouts every school day across the country, and about 100 of those every day come from Illinois. And, of course, there are many more as well coming from Indiana and the other states in the Midwest, too.
Let me give the phone numbers for listeners who'd like to join our conversation today, who have a question or a comment for our guest, Sean Noble from Voices for Illinois Children. Here at WILL, if it's a local call in the Champaign-Urbana area where the studio is at the university, punch in 333-9455. That's 333-WILL, the call letters of the station, of course. If it's a long-distance call, do use 1-800-222-9455. We're eager to have listeners ask questions or make comments about what we're talking about. Sean, let's look at some of these issues that the Voices for Illinois Children deals with. You mentioned health first.
Yes. Health care, obviously, is an issue of great concern for families throughout the country and Illinois and the Midwest, especially in this horrible economic downturn, this recession that we've gone into. And in Illinois, average between 2005 and 2007, there were about 305,000 uninsured kids. And so the different public policies that we can piece together at both the state and the federal level to help ensure that kids do have adequate health coverage is really critical at this time, especially as parents are, in many cases, sadly losing their jobs, which in many cases are, of course, the lifeline to whatever insurance they're able to piece together. It calls upon us to ensure that we try to extend whatever kinds of, common sense, affordable health care coverage we can also to a lot of struggling parents who otherwise couldn't get it on their own.
Now, there were some significant gains in terms of health care for children in this state just last year, was it?
Yes, in the last couple of years, we've done a pretty good job, Steve, in Illinois, of ensuring that we add to the strength of the programs that are a few years old at the federal level in terms of the Medicaid programs, the state's Children's Health Insurance Program, which I think might be one of the things that you're referring to at the federal level. Of course, the president signing the reauthorization of the state Children's Health Insurance Program, which I think the number is about 4 million more kids throughout the country who wouldn't otherwise be receiving health coverage, will, by virtue of that move, indeed get it. And at the state level, in states like Illinois, we've been able to really help to add on to the framework of the federal level programs through efforts such as first there was Kid Care a few years ago, and then the improvements under the All Kids effort here in 2006, I believe, that launched.
And I know because you're Director of Government Relations for Voices for Illinois Children, you may not want to pat yourself on the back, but Voices was instrumental in getting those to happen.
Thank you very much. You're right, we don't want to crow too much, but we're really happy to have had a role, along with quite a few other organizations and campaigns as well, some really good partners like the Sergeant Shriver National Center on Poverty Law, and a few others here in Illinois, to ensure that we really did build upon the successes that we've had already and have a common sense game plan for helping other kids that need help who haven't got it yet. And really leaders at the statewide level as well.
And since your colleague, Jerry Sturmer, has gone on to work as chief of staff for Governor Pat Quinn, how do you see the change in administration, the much-needed change in administration here in Illinois, affecting the future for kids in terms of health?
I think that we should look to see some strong efforts from Governor Quinn and his administration to once again take this foundation of good policy work that we've done already and continue to build on it as best we can. Obviously, the major challenge right now being the revenue picture at the state and the national levels.
Of course. Well, let's move. Let's skip education for a moment and jump to the economic situation. Mm-hmm. How does this affect kids?
The recession that we're in?
Yes.
It really affects kids in so many ways, Steve, that maybe we at first blush might not even think about. First of all, there's the problem that I mentioned earlier of joblessness, that in many cases children's well-being is being put at risk because their parents' well-being is being put at risk in their households. When their parents are losing their jobs, which in many cases means not only loss of a salary to keep food on the table, roof over the head, warm clothes in the winter and so forth, but it also means the health care coverage might be gone as well. And the COBRA efforts to extend health care coverage could be, exorbitantly expensive for a family. In other cases, the recession means that it's really putting gigantic pressures on government at the federal and the state and the local level to sustain the different supports, education, health, economic security, that so many struggling families depend upon at one time or another. And at the very time that families need help the most in a lot of different ways, the help that they need is crumbling under our feet because of the lack of revenues to help shore them up.
In terms of the economic situation in the state of Illinois as it affects kids, you've mentioned health, you mentioned education, you mentioned the fiscal integrity for the state. That's real shaky right now.
Yes, it is. And I'm sure for a lot of folks hearing the words fiscal integrity together, you have to put quotation marks around it because we don't really have a lot of fiscal integrity at the state level in Illinois right now. And, of course, the state controller just a couple of weeks ago put out a report said that if you look at the months that we have left in this fiscal year, 2009, which will end on June 30th, and then you look ahead to the fiscal 2010 situation, July 1st of this year through the following June 30th, all told, we're looking at a budget deficit of about $9 billion, billion with a B, and which stands for big, of course, and it means we have a lot of work ahead of us to ensure, once again, that these really critical supports and services and programs that a lot of kids and families need are there and are sustained. One of the ways that we like to think about how all these things wrap together, Steve, at Voices for Illinois Children is through the expression, children do well when their families do well. Families do well when their communities can support them and back them up in securing the basics. And so many of the basics are really in danger right now.
And in terms of helping families do well, what kind of public policies has Voices for Illinois Children worked successfully on in the past?
A wide variety, and I'll try to just kind of pick out a few examples to illustrate how in different issue areas we've tried to shore up families' well-being, working with a lot of other good advocates and policymakers. There have been incredible strides in Illinois made in terms of preschool education and early childhood education supports of several different kinds. These are critical for first of all, for working families that need, for example, child care while mom and dad are at work, and they need a safe and nurturing place for their children to go to. Our best efforts in Illinois have helped to make our state a national leader in terms of early childhood education. We've been able to improve and expand upon a lot of really critical programs to help our youngest learners to not only have a good place while mom and dad are going to work, but for it to be truly educational and to really stimulate their cognitive, mental, social, and emotional growth.
Let me interrupt you just very quickly.
Sure.
Would you say that phrase again? I haven't heard it recently very often. Illinois is a national leader?
Yes. I am proud to say that in these occasions in which we really can, Steve. Early childhood education is one of a couple of three different areas in which Illinois truly is a national leader. We are one of the few states that has made a statutory pledge to try to extend to a wide array of children a truly good shot at an early childhood good learning experience, and that includes in Illinois the pledge to over time, as our resources are brought to bear, help not only all four-year-olds, but all three-year-olds as well, if their parents want it, to be able to take advantage of good preschool programs. Several other states have made a four-year-old pledge, but Illinois was the first to really take that down also to the three-year-old level, because we know that the gains are so much better and better sustained if a child has a couple of years rather than just one of preparation to enter the kindergarten door prepared for success in school and then throughout the rest of their lives.
Sean, tell us how that came about. How did give us a little picture of the process that Voices for Illinois Children used, you and others, to get that to happen and find the funding for it?
Well, it's a story that unfolds over the course of about 20 or 25 years, really. And
sure.
it includes back in the mid-'80s, the kind of the pulling together of some state pre-K programs so that we had the beginnings of what we have today that we refer to as the Preschool for All set of programs. There was state pre-K for three-year-olds and four-year-olds, and it's always been voluntary in Illinois, and it will remain that way. We want it to be that way, so it's an option for parents rather than any kind of a mandate. Well, those programs for three- and four-year-olds, we wrapped together with the funding streams for them together with the funding for a couple of other important programs, developmental services for infants and toddlers who are at risk of eventual academic failure. And through this early childhood block grant, as we called this funding stream that's for this set of programs, we were able to have a little bit of sustained success over time in the 80s and the 90s. And really, by the early 2000s, by early in this decade, the science at the national level and the international level was such that more and more people in Illinois and elsewhere were understanding that the vast, vast majority of a child's brain development takes place well in advance of their formal years of education. By the time they're five, or really even three, the 85-90% of brain development has taken place. And that really, all that research helped kind of light a fire under the good efforts that were already going on. And we went through a series of different efforts in this decade that led to what we have today as the Preschool for All program. Far greater public investments over the last 6 to 8 years, and the creation of the Early Learning Council at the state level that really helps bring together people from a variety of different walks of life and perspectives and expertise in early childhood education to really deliberately, thoughtfully map out a path to having, you know, someday the best education system for our youngest learners in the nation. And we're still today making great strides, even at this time of economic hardship. But we've got to do some good work to ensure those strides are sustained.
Now, over this 20 to 25-year period where the work went on to bring this about eventually, there were many different administrations, Republican, Democrat, and so groups like Voices had to work with others who were nonpartisan to try to keep progress going no matter what. Tell us a little bit about some of the challenges of that.
Sure. You know, I'm really happy to say that one of the success stories in Illinois' overall success story for early childhood is the fact that that both Democrats and Republicans have really come to value all of these efforts very strongly. Under Governor Ryan, for example, Republican Governor Ryan, at about the time that I got to Voices for Illinois Children, he had commissioned a task force that its mission was to do some of this work on mapping out how to get much greater access for preschool put into place in policy in Illinois and with better investments over the course of a few years. And so he already had, his administration had put some good energy and attention and focus on this work, just as some leaders had before him as well. And then our previous governor came into office as well, Governor Blagojevich, and we were working really under with the House and the Senate legislators in Springfield, the 177 legislators, sustained work on the idea of this creating an early learning council to map things out. That took place in 2003. We've got Republican and Democrat legislators and leaders taking part in those efforts. And, you know, it was about 2006 when the Preschool for All legislation was signed. And legislators throughout the state from both parties have continued to see new programs popping up in areas where there hadn't been before, and they are fulfilling the needs of the families that didn't have opportunities before for their young children to get an early shot at success and getting off best foot possible with their learning. So it's really been, I guess you could call it either a bipartisan or a nonpartisan effort, depending upon whatever your viewpoint is. But it's been very successful.
Sean Noble from Voices for Illinois Children is our guest this afternoon on Keeping the Faith. Listeners may call in and join the conversation. Ask a question if you like, 333-9455. That's in the Champaign-Urbana area. Listeners elsewhere, including online, may punch in 1-800-222-9455. There are several lines available, and our engineer, Kyle Kroha, will answer the phone and put you in line to get on the air with our guest. And we're eager to have people call in with their own comments or questions. We have about 35 minutes to go, and we're enjoying the conversation, but others are welcome to talk as well. Sean, when you first came to Voices for Illinois Children, where had you been before?
Actually, I had been before that, Steve, a daily newspaper reporter for about a dozen years.
Which paper?
I started my so-called professional career in Central Illinois, there at the Springfield State Journal Register, and I loved the work there. I started out as an intern in the state capitol, working for them in the spring session of 1990, and moved over to work then full time after that legislative session ended. I was there for a few years in Springfield. I wound up at the Elgin Courier News up in the northwestern suburbs of Chicago for a few years after that, and I closed my news career at the what used to be the Copley News Service Bureau in downtown Chicago. So I was really happy that I had the length and breadth of reporting from, you know, kind of the rural areas of Illinois, suburban areas, and the urban areas, and it gave me a lot of perspective that I've been pleased to put to work in the public policy work that I do now. And as a reporter, I had focused primarily on education reporting, and that was kind of how my interests from the newspaper days parlayed into the work that I'm doing now.
Where did you go to college?
I went to college in DeKalb at Northern Illinois University. And from there, after getting a bachelor's in journalism there, I completed my, as far as I know so far, my education efforts to date at what is now the University of Illinois at Springfield. Back then it was Sangamon State University with a master's in public affairs reporting.
While you were in Springfield?
While I was in Springfield, yeah.
When you came to Voices, did you immediately go into work with government relations?
Actually, the first thing I was hired there to do, Steve, was I was hired as a policy associate to work on early childhood issues, but not exclusively so. One of the first things that that I was able to do when I got to Voices, in addition to early childhood, was a little bit of work on the health insurance-related efforts, some of which we talked about earlier, the efforts to really build what's known as the family care program in Illinois. I was able to join a lot of other good people that were already working on the approach to help the parents of Medicaid and kid care eligible children to be able to obtain affordable health insurance of their own if they didn't have it through work or if it was really too unaffordable for them. But for the first year that I was at Voices, it was not in any kind of governmental relations capacity.
There is a website. Tell listeners how they can learn more about Voices for Illinois Children.
The website is www.voicesforkids.org. And the tricky part is the four. It's the numeral four, the number four rather than the word. So it's voices4kids.org. And we do have a wide array up there posted online of reports and information. You know, one thing that listeners might find particularly interesting is just a few weeks ago, we put up our most recent Kids Count report, Illinois Kids Count 2009, Education for the 21st Century. There is a wealth of information in there that helps to illustrate how children and families are faring in Illinois in the last couple of years. There's some comparative data that has to do with education, health, economic security, and folks can take a look at, in some cases, geographic breakdowns of, you know, how the dropout rates in some counties compare with others and so forth. Online, there is a searchable database that that really can help bring it down to the local level from the statewide level for people who are interested in turning up the microscope power a little bit.
And again, for people who'd like to access that, it's online, voicesforkids.org, and the four is a number. And for people who would rather use a telephone, let me give the number for during the week. 312-456-0600 to reach the Chicago office of Voices for Illinois Children. We're talking today on Keeping the Faith with Sean Noble, who is Director of Government Relations. We had scheduled the founding director of Voices, as I mentioned earlier, Jerry Sturmer, but he was just named in the last couple weeks the new Chief of Staff for Governor Patrick Quinn here in Illinois, and so has moved quickly to those new responsibilities. So, Sean, are you going to be in the position of having to educate and lobby your former colleague?
Steve, he needs very, very little education from me, that's for sure. I learned a great, great deal under him for the last few years. I had come to Voices with a little bit of public policy knowledge, particularly in the area of education, and not a lot else. We're working under and with Jerry and with a lot of other great colleagues at Voices for Illinois Children, I was able to, really, really pick up and learn a lot more, be able to hone my skills, be able to do things like put to good use the kind of data that we have in this Kids Count book I was mentioning earlier. Interestingly, when I was a newspaper reporter, how I first became aware of Voices was I used to turn to them as a resource in a lot of the newspaper stories that I was writing, and especially at Kids Count time every year when this report was released, because it is such a wealth of information. It was a real good tool for a newspaper reporter to help put in better perspective how how we are treating children and families through the public policies that we put in place or fail to put in place.
We have a caller on line number one. Let's go to that caller. You're on the air with Sean Noble. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hello there. Is there any discussion that you can make of the reaction of many peoples, and especially officials, with the different societies of people that we have living here? For example, three or four different Hispanics, the Chinese and other, and half a dozen Asian, the Amish, like in Arthur, and then also comment perhaps on the removal of well baby care from the Planned Parenthood program. And I'm hanging up and I'm listening to you.
Thank you very much for the question. So the first question is, Illinois does have a lot of diversity in terms of its children with different nationalities and languages and ethnicities. I guess the question is, how much difference does that make?
It makes a great deal of difference, and it's a good question that the caller raises, Steve, because that was one of the significant conclusions of this year's Kids Count report when it comes to children's education, is that one thing that is very, very apparent in Illinois and in our entire nation today is that children and their families are becoming far more diverse than in the past. And you see that play out in many different ways. There are statistics that show just how far we have to go to ensure that kids from every background, every ethnicity, are really given a fair shot at the basics in life when it comes to learning opportunities and good health care and so forth. And I'm looking at the Illinois State Report Card for 2008, which, among other things, gives kind of a racial and ethnic background breakout for different tests and standardized exams that are given. And just picking out one number here, one set of numbers, third grade reading tests in 2008 revealed that although 16.5% of children, white children, fell short of reading standards for third graders that year as measured by tests, almost 45% of Latino children fell short of standards. Certainly, 57, almost 58% of limited English proficient children from any and all ethnic backgrounds fell shy of the reading standards. And really, those kinds of numbers just serve to show that we've got to ensure when kids come to school with, in this case, particular needs in helping to get up to speed with their peers. We've got to be able to provide those supports because these kids, they're here, they're with us, they are, part of our community, and they're certainly part of our future workforce. And we need to work together to ensure that families are given the supports that they need, that their kids really have a good shot at success. Because as all of us being neighbors, what helps one neighbor to be able to do a little bit better, kind of helps the tide to rise for all boats. So that is something that we've got to deal with more and more and more in 2009 in this state and this nation.
And the caller also had a very good raised a very good point about the importance, even before the preschool program, of well baby care.
Yeah, I appreciate that very much too, because this is another example of a program that's actually a set of programs that are very important. Well baby care when it comes to doctor's visits and health care, and we've touched on that a little bit. Other programs as well that are really significant. There are parent coaching home visiting programs for at-risk children from birth to age three. Some of them are through the Healthy Families Illinois set of programs. Some are through the Parents as Teachers services. These are really significant public policy efforts to help, once again, to make sure that kids are given the help that they need from the earliest ages and stages of their development. Because if we don't try to swim upstream of the problems that we can catch early on, if we leave them go until kids are entering school, kindergarten, first grade, with developmental delays and disabilities that we could have caught early, it's certainly not good for the children's development. It's not wise investments of public dollars and public policy. And it's just not serving families very well. So that is an important point, that the different kinds of services, such as home visiting, early intervention services, we've got to make sure that they're strong and sustained.
We're a little bit past halfway on the program here on WILL AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD 2, HD 3, Keeping the Faith on Sunday afternoon. Our guest today is Sean Noble, Director of Government Relations for Voices for Illinois Children, raising many areas of concern, not only for kids in Illinois, but, of course, around the country. We'll be getting back to him in just a moment. I'm Steve Shoemaker, your host for the program. Next week, I'll be talking with Robert P. Jones, talking about progressive and religious, how Christian, Jewish, Muslim, and Buddhist leaders are moving beyond the culture wars and transforming American public life. That's the title and subtitle of his book that just came out in 2008. He's the president of Public Religion Research. We'll be talking with Robert P. Jones next week, March 1st, here on Keeping the Faith. Professor Juan Cole will be our guest on March 8th, talking about interfaith relations in the Middle East. He'll be interviewed several times here on WILL, but we're focusing on interfaith relations on Keeping the Faith on March 8. Sunday, March 15, we'll be hearing a pre-recorded interview with Professor Mohammed Khalil, professor of Islamic studies, about scholars in Islam. That was recorded at the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute just last week. And we'll be broadcasting it for the first time on the air March 15, Professor Mohammed Khalil. Ralph Martiri will be talking about educational funding reform on March 22nd here on Keeping the Faith. So that's some of the programs coming up ahead for us. Let me just mention a few things that will be happening locally here in the Champaign-Urbana area. At the University Y, which has provided support for Keeping the Faith for most of its existence, is featuring as part of their Communiversity classes coming up, Reverend John Sutcherland, a class called Living and Working in Palestine. People who'd like to take that class, it'll start on Monday, March 9, and go through April 6 at 7 o'clock at night from 7 to 8:30 at the University Y on the corner of Wright and Chalmers, right across the street from the Lutheran Campus Center in St. Andrew's Lutheran Church, where John was the pastor for 15 years on campus. But after his retirement, he spent 2 years in Palestine in Bet Jala, right next to Bethlehem on the West Bank. So he's going to be talking about his experience and what he learned there living and working in Palestine. People who'd like to take that course at the Y, there's a very modest course fee of just $10 for the whole time. And that'll be Mondays starting March 9 through April 6, starting at 7 p.m. at the University YMCA. If you'd like to register for that, call the Y, 337-1500, or stop by. You can check it out more online at universityymca.org. Also at the Y, coming up this week on Tuesday as part of the Know Your University series of programs, Justin Spring will be talking about his experience at the Olympics in Beijing, China last year. That's this Tuesday noon at the University Y. Justin Spring is an assistant coach of the varsity men's gymnastics here, but was himself a member of the bronze medal winning U.S. team in the last summer's Olympics. Friday at noon is another free lecture with a time for questions. as part of the Friday Forum series at the Y, Promise and Perils of New Technology. And Clark Bullard spoke there last Friday. This Friday, Lisa Nakamura, who's professor of media studies at the university, will be talking about digital profiling in virtual worlds, such as the World of Warcraft and Second Life, and talking about the impacts of these programs upon the users and upon cultural diversity. That's part of Friday Forum, free lecture at the University Y. If you'd like to order a lunch for that program from the Y Eatery, good Thai food, do call the Y, 337-1500, to reserve a lunch. But if you forget, just show up. They'll find one for you, or you can bring your own lunch or simply listen to the lecture. That's February 27th, this Friday noon, at the University YMCA. Well, let's get back to our subject for today of keeping the faith. We're talking with Sean Noble. Sean, you mentioned these leadership committees that are found in various cities and regions of the state. Tell us how they're organized.
Well, they're organized, Steve, by, as I was saying, civic leaders, people at the local level who are interested in the different issue areas, education, health, and so forth that we work on. Some of them are educators. Some of them might not work at all professionally, 9 to 5, in anything related to education or healthcare, but they're just simply interested as parents or grandparents in coming together and helping at the local level to raise some voices on behalf of kids' needs. You know, one of their primary purposes is to ensure that there are good communications going on with local elected leaders, such as state representatives and senators, and that the statewide policy picture never loses the local focus that it should have, because really the way the public policy plays out, of course, is at the local level, neighborhood level, and the community level. And they are really our anchor at Voices for Illinois Children in helping to ensure that we really are taking a good statewide community-by-community look at both what kids' needs are and how the public policies play out that we try to put in place.
So folks who are hearing this want to get involved in that, they can go to your website, voicesforkids.org. The four is a number, and learn more about that and where that exists and in what communities and so forth.
That's right. If they go to our website, Steve, and if they click on how to get involved,
great,
they can learn more about who to contact and where the existing committees are.
We have two callers waiting with questions or comments. Let's go to line number one. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith.
Yes, I'm very pleased to hear what Voices for Kids has been doing to draw public policy in support of preschool education. I'm wondering how much the progress that has been made through your organization's efforts is really imperiled now with the state's fiscal problems.
A very good question, because I think the efforts that we have made over the years as a state to shore up some very good early childhood efforts in Illinois, they're in the same spot that so many other important public policies and programs are, which is very much in danger if we do not get our fiscal house in order as a state. And as we were talking about earlier, the recession that we're experiencing puts a lot of pressure on what already was a not very happy situation that we have as a state, because the our state revenue structure is not as good as it should be. It's out of date. It essentially has a built-in what a lot of us refer to as a structural deficit. Over time, it does not raise adequate revenues and certainly doesn't do it very fairly to be able to sustain important services and programs, even if we're only factoring in inflation growth and population growth. So we have a lot of work to do to help protect our investments in not only preschool, but a whole range of other important programs and services.
Did you want to follow up, caller?
Well, I had a question about how much possibility there is of getting a really sensible kind of state income tax instead of the present one, which is so small that it almost makes a joke out of calling it an income tax.
Another very appreciated question, because I join you in hoping that there really is a prospect for having a general tax increase passed in the months to come. And the income tax would be certainly the fairest way to do it, as well as the way that would represent the most adequate revenue that could be raised. Our income tax is not all it's cracked up to be in terms of fairness, although it at least is based upon people's income levels, the taxpayers' income levels. And I say it's not as fair as it could be because as a flat tax, really the effects on the lowest income are proportionally greater
right.
than they are for the very, very wealthiest of families. And if we can do things like if we were able to bring about an income tax increase and couple it with significant growth in a few tax credits and maybe the personal exemption as well, a few different tools that help especially low and moderate income families to get a little bit of a break in the taxes they would otherwise have to pay, we could ultimately raise more of the revenues that we need, and we could actually inject a lot of desperately needed fairness into our tax structure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for the questions. We have another caller waiting on line number two. Yes, go ahead. You're talking with Sean Noble.
Yes, Mr. Noble, I'd like to chime in and indicate that I followed Voices for Children for quite a while and strongly support your work. And my question is a fairly broad one. You've addressed it in your responses to two or three different questions, but in my work with local public policymakers, I've often encountered resistance to the kind of programming that you espouse. And I'd just be curious to know how you would deal with this very broad question if you encountered it, typically coming from the Republican side of the aisle, if we could wave a magic wand and adopted all of your policy recommendations, what we would essentially create is a nanny state that would essentially undermine the role of family in American life. I don't know if you had to deal with those kinds of broad questions, but I'd be very curious to know how you would respond if you encountered that.
Sure. Yeah,
I'll hang up and listen. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you for the call.
Yes, thanks for the inquiry. You know, certainly we occasionally run into, questions, sometimes not just from Republicans, sometimes also Democrats as well, that often come from the standpoint of, well, the state does not have a lot of funding to begin with. If we're envisioning trying to continue to invest in public education and in health care and in human services that people need, how can we do this? Because we don't have the adequate resources. And, of course, we do have some answers, first of all, in the Resources Department, as I was talking earlier, about some common-sense ways of raising revenue to produce a more adequate amount of funding, but also to improve fairness in doing it. And I think the caller also was asking about, of course, the fears that that some bring up sometimes of creating a nanny kind of state in which maybe people are not doing for themselves what they should be. And I think our take on that is that society needs to kind of take a very balanced look at how we help ourselves and each other out. In terms of we are a nation of both bootstrap folks that help ourselves out from the ground up in the ways that we can, and we're also a nation of neighbors who help each other out when our bootstraps aren't strong enough and can't sustain us. And I think of my grandparents, for example, who were dairy farmers in central Wisconsin back 60 years ago when my grandfather cleared his land. 100-some acres to build a farm from the ground up. And
all those rocks.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of rocks, a lot of trees chopped down, outbuildings to build, as well as his own home. And he would have been the first to tell you that he did a lot of that work on his own, and he did a lot of it with his neighbor's help. The classic idea of the barn raising, of the folks coming together from different farms to help the farmer who's putting up his new barn to do so. And I saw some of this kind of neighborliness up close and personal when I was a teenager, and I would go to help out on the farm in the summertime to bring in the hay and milk the cows. And a lot of times the neighbors would move from one farm to another to help out for the guy who was just in the process of cutting his hay and trying to bale it and put it into his hayloft. So that's the kind of mental picture that I go back to when I think about this idea of the nanny state fears, because really, truly, if you think about it, if you back up and take a bigger perspective of things, the kind of work that we can and should be doing in public policy at the state level, it really follows the same course. There are things that we can do for ourselves, and there are things that we can't, and we need to have help on. And there was, to go a little bit further, a few weeks ago when our president was in Springfield and was helping to celebrate the 200th birthday of Abraham Lincoln, he had a quote from Lincoln: "The legitimate object of government is to do for the people what needs to be done, but which they cannot, by individual effort, do at all or do so well by themselves." Long quote with a lot of commas in there that essentially boils down to, if we can help each other out in ways that are common sense, often the we that can do that is we coming together as a government, local government, state government, and the federal government to do so. And Abraham Lincoln, as the first Republican president, was a real good example. Bootstraps as a rail splitter in his own right, and then also working to over time to really help preserve the Union, which was his ideal way of people coming together to help themselves and each other out.
We're talking
got a little
with,
long-winded there, Steve. Sorry.
No, that was fine. We're talking with Sean Noble from Voices for Illinois Children. Our phone lines are open. We're down to our last 5 minutes or so, but we can sneak in one or two calls if the callers would like to ask a short question. 333-9455 is the local number. Elsewhere, including people listening online at will.illinois.edu, may call us toll-free 1-800-222-9455. Sean, when the Kids Count report comes out each year this time, it's always shocking to me. I mean, I get the email report, so I know what's coming a little bit because Voices sends out very good informative emails that tell people some of the issues and try to gather support. But some of the numbers are just always such a shock.
Yes, and they really do. They change a little bit from year to year. Sometimes some numbers stand out more than others. I think they always do help to kind of focus our attention and energy a little bit on some of the areas of public policy that need the most work, need the most attention. And some of the numbers that we've seen in recent years about the child poverty rate is turning back around after a few years of improvement. It probably comes as no surprise to any of the listeners that, especially at this time of with the economy turning down, the recession taking root, that more and more children are in poverty. And that really underscores the need for some of the work that we've got going on in Springfield and elsewhere to do things like increase the size of what we call the earned income tax credit at the state level here in Illinois. That's a tax credit that helps to give low-income working families a break at tax time each year and keep a little bit more of the money in their pockets than they would otherwise for expenses from utility bills to rent to groceries and car repairs to ensure they actually can get back and forth to their jobs. The Kids Count data book really does help to put an exclamation point on a lot of the policy proposals that we are working on in Springfield and in D.C.
And tell people again, if they want to see that, how do they find it?
Listeners could go to www.voices4kids.org, voices4kids.org, and it's pretty prominent, I think, on the homepage when you get there, the links to the Kids Count reports and to the searchable database online for, again, folks that really want to delve into numbers at not only the state but the county by county and, in some cases, community level as well.
And we have time for one more caller. Yes, you're on Keeping the Faith. Go right ahead. Yes, line number one. Yes, this is you. Right.
Okay. Hey, I am curious if your organization does anything with divorce in the legal system. You know, it's a very destructive process and affects children quite a bit. And I'll hang up and hear what you have to say.
Thanks for the call.
I think a couple different answers to that, really. There's an effort underway by virtue of a Illinois House of Representatives resolution that passed this last year to take a look at the family law in Illinois that deals with such things as child support and divorce law and so forth, and to make sure that that set of laws is all it should be. Are there areas in which it could be improved? And, certainly Jerry, our former president, who is now with the governor's office, had been serving on that committee. The work continues there, and we're interested in helping to ensure that it really comes to a successful set of conclusions in strengthening the laws as well. But then I think there are a range of other public policies, too, that help families that wind up, for example, a single mom raising kids or a single dad raising kids post-divorce who have particular struggles that we're always working on a few different ways of helping those struggling families to get by a little bit better.
Sean, how much time do you spend in Springfield?
In Springfield, a fair amount of time when they're in session, Steve. Of course, the spring legislative session starts up by about beginning of February and goes through, in a normal year anyways, through the end of May. So I and a couple of my colleagues are down there on one or two or all three of us on a weekly basis.
And you try to get people to join you occasionally and communicate with them various ways, including by email.
That's right.
Well, we're out of time, but we appreciate very much having Sean Noble, who is the Director of Government Relations for Voices for Illinois Children, as our guest today on Keeping the Faith. I'm Steve Shoemaker, the usual host for the program, reminding people that if you'd like to learn about living and working in Palestine from Reverend John Sutherland, you can sign up for a course that he'll be offering as part of the Communiversity classes at the University of Y that start March 9 and go through April 6 on Monday night, 7 to 8:30. In the boardroom of the University of Y, you can call there 337-1500 or check out the website, universityymca.org, and click on Communiversity and then look for this class. $10 for the whole course, quite a bargain. Coming up on Keeping the Faith next week, Robert P. Jones, author of the new book, Progressive and Religious, How Christian, Jewish, Muslim, and Buddhist Leaders Are Moving Beyond the Culture Wars and Transforming American Public Life. We'll be talking with Robert P. Jones, the author of that book, next week here on Keeping the Faith. Also at the University of Y this week, let me remind folks that Know Your University guest will be Justin Spring, who's the assistant varsity coach for the men's gymnastics team at the University of Illinois. Last August, he was a member of the bronze medal-winning U.S. team in the 2008 Olympics in China. He'll be speaking free at the Y. People who want to meet him, talk with him, ask him questions, hear about his experiences. The Y is at the corner of Chalmers and Wright Street, easily accessible by public transportation. A lot of buses go right by there, get off at the library, and walk half a block, and you're right there, or you can often park around noon on Tuesdays. On Friday at the Y, Lisa Nakamura from Media Studies talking about surveillance of virtual worlds. Friday Forum this February 27 at the Y. Thanks for listening to Keeping the Faith.
You've been listening to Keepin' the Faith, a production of WILL AM 580. The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants.
Woody Allen is an Academy Award-winning filmmaker and screenwriter, but he's notoriously media shy. I'm Jim Fleming. Next time on To the Best of Our Knowledge, we'll talk to Eric Lacks about talking to Woody Allen over the past 36 years. Also, we'll explore how independent screenplays work. It's To the Best of Our Knowledge from PRI, Public Radio International.
This evening at 7.
Are you keeping up on the avalanche of stories alleging corruption at the highest levels of Illinois government? Well, next time on the Afternoon Magazine, we'll turn our gaze to what we may see as small ethical transgressions. We'll talk about the ethical dilemmas and transgressions of our everyday lives. Our guest will be Clinton Corver, co-author of Ethics for the Real World, the Afternoon Magazine, Monday through Friday, here on AM 580.
AM 580 has a listener comment line. If you'd like to comment on something, that's 217-333-0853. You're listening to WILL AM 580 and 90.9 FM HD2 and HD3 Urbana. This is short.